Every Thursday, St. Andrew's opens its doors for lunch. In between the months of September to May, we run a soup kitchen here once a week, and many of you, I dare say all of you, are aware of that. And we're one of five churches in Coburg that runs such a program, and it's been running for, I'm going to hazard, in and around the last 20 years or so. Cecilia can probably give us a more accurate sense, or Mary Jane, I don't see her here today. And there's many volunteers from the congregation who give of themselves, of their time, to help come and run this ministry and make sure that people are fed each and every day. And there's a need within our community in Coburg to offer such a program. We have roughly 25 to 30 people come every week to have a meal. There are people within our community who are homeless, and other people within our community deal with the issue of food insecurity. That is, they don't reliably know where or when they may get their next meal. Many are reliant on food banks to make ends meet. And so the soup kitchen fills a required need within our community. It provides a safe, reliable place where people will be welcomed as they are fed. And we are reminded of the words of Jesus in our passage from John this morning. You will always have poor people with you. To deal with the poor and the disadvantaged isn't always a comfortable experience. Some are rough around the edges. Their language choices are not ours. We might witness aspects of substance abuse and other addictions. Sometimes there is an odor about them which is less than pleasant. And of course, I could make similar comments about people from the middle or upper classes of society, but we drop these stereotypes on the poor. When we see an individual who is homeless on the street, often our inclination is to cross the street before we encounter them. Failing that, we ensure that we take a few extra steps around them to avoid any contact, as if we are worried we might catch something. You will always have poor people with you. The church is a place where people on the margins of society have often felt comfortable approaching. Because historically, the church, and this church is no exception, has provided assistance to those who are poor, homeless, and hungry. People know that they can knock on the door of a church and receive some form of assistance. And yet, that contact has a clear beginning and ending. If you look around right now, you won't find anyone here at this moment who is homeless, and no one here right now is a guest at the soup kitchen. It is as if on Sunday morning a magic wall is thrown up that divides these two communities of the church. And make no mistake, those who come to the soup kitchen are a part of this church and a part of this community. That both the poor and us would be uncomfortable if we were all worshiping at the same time, in the same place. And this comment should make us think, because try as we might, we can't separate Jesus from the poor. Read through the Gospels and you will be hard-pressed to find instances when Jesus isn't in some way interacting with the homeless, hungry, poor, and vulnerable in society. You will always have poor people with you. The Kairos Center for Religions, Rights, and Social Justice puts it this way: we are experiencing unprecedented poverty in the midst of plenty unnecessary abandonment in spite of unheard abundance. You will always have poor people with you. This passage that's in John's Gospel this morning is one of those passages that should make us scratch our heads. The comment by Jesus, "You will always have poor people with you, but you won't always have me," it seems flippant. As if poor people don't matter as much as Jesus. There's a definitive value statement attached to it, and it's Jesus who makes it. Now, to be sure, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God, but something about it still seems off. If we are unable to separate Jesus from the poor, why would Jesus make this statement? If Jesus spent so much time debating and teaching about how the law was being interpreted incorrectly, why would he make such a dismissive statement? You will always have poor people with you. It seems so defeatist and contrary to what I feel the values of God's kingdom are. And I wonder this about a lot of passages in Scripture. Are we reading this wrong? Lindsay Trozo from the Princeton Theological Seminary writes, "There's a funny thing in ancient Greek," and so this is an ancient Greek lesson for you. It's grammar, okay? So bear with me as I go through this. Sometimes the present indicative form of a word, which just indicates or states something, such as, "You always have the poor with you," matches the imperative form of the word. So in Greek, sometimes the word in the present indicative looks the exact same as the imperative form, which is a command to do something. So the indicative states something, "You will always have the poor with you," and the imperative is a command to do something, like have or keep poor people with you. And this passage, exete, which is translated "you will have," can be indicative or imperative. And we translate it as the indicative. That's how it's translated in our Bibles. But could it be translated as the imperative? So maybe we should read Jesus' statement not as an indication of the way things are, but as a command to have the poor with you always, or to keep the poor among you always. You will always have poor people with you versus have the poor with you always. Those are two vastly different things. A week ago, I had the opportunity to have lunch with Pastor Greg Paul. Greg Paul is the lead pastor at the Sanctuary Church in Toronto. And for over the past 20 years, Sanctuary Church has engaged in street-level mission to the homeless, the hungry, and the vulnerable in Toronto. Greg was a speaker at the Imaginate Conference, and I piggybacked on that and had a minister's lunch with him. And so there was myself and a few other local clergy together, and we chatted with Greg about the work that he does. And if you're interested more about him and the work he's engaged in, I have one of his books on my shelf called God in the Alley, and you are more than welcome to borrow it. I think you will find it illuminating and eye-opening. But Greg wasn't content to tell us to just go and develop another program that might touch people's lives, you know, collecting coats in winter or emergency kits or expanding the soup kitchen. His challenge was far deeper than that. Something truly transformative, and he acknowledged how difficult it would be, as it would require wholesale, institutional, and cultural change. In a nutshell, Greg challenged us to go from a model of church that has us doing ministry or mission to people. That is, we engage with people because we have something to give or to teach them. And we hold ourselves perhaps to be better, however we might choose to define that, than the people we are serving. The challenge was to make the vulnerable, the homeless, and the hungry a core part of a community of faith. To go from serving a meal once a week and handing out other forms of benevolence to having a truly integrated community that represents all people. It's a remarkable shift in thought and philosophy, just as the two ways we might translate our passage from this morning. You will always have poor people with you versus have the poor with you always. And I wonder, is that an idea we are comfortable with? And if the answer is no, why not? Amen.